I'm Algernon Cash, and you're locked in. If you value thoughtful, long-form conversations about leadership, economics, and community growth, I ask that you support this work. Visit lockedin.cash to become a recurring supporter. Your contribution helps us continue producing independent conversations that elevate the discourse in our region. Today, we're refocusing on downtown Greensboro. Some weeks ago, I led a series of conversations with former Mayor Robbie Perkins, DGI President Zach Matheny, and Mayor Mary Kay Abuswader. I encourage you to find those conversations on my YouTube channel or podcast. Today, I want to shift the conversation to solutions. This is not a debate. It's a structured dialogue that I'm hopeful will advance the community conversation about downtown Greensboro forward. I've invited three voices who represent different parts of the ecosystem. Richard Beard, representing the business community. Mayor Pro Tem Denise Roth, speaking on behalf of the city. And Kim Grizzly Ritchie, offering the perspective of a community advocate. The goal is clarity and accountability, but also solutions. So let's get into it. Thank you guys for locking in with me. Thank you for joining me.
Good to be with you, Algernon.
Awesome. Awesome. So I know all of you all, we're all friends. Kim, you are a new friend. So thank you for joining the program as well. Just to sort of kick into it, because we've got a short amount of time and a lot of opinions here. But, you know, downtown Greensboro has faced criticism, some defense, optimism, and frustration, often all at once. So before we dive into the specifics, I want each of you to answer this question. In about 1 to 2 minutes, what is the real condition of downtown Greensboro right now? And I just want to start with you, Richard, on that question.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me join in on the conversation. I mean, our downtown is so critical for the whole community and to bring vibrancy so we can certainly recruit and retain employees for all these jobs that are coming, the jobs that already exist. But our downtown is also very important for my world with sports tourism. We have a lot of guests that stay downtown when they come into town. And that's where people really judge the city's character. They look at the core, and the condition of your downtown is so critical. And, you know, there's been plenty of debate over the past weeks, starting with your conversation with Robbie, and the issues are out there, and I'm ready to start talking about solutions, because we've beat up the issues downtown. It's time to move forward. And I do really think that this city council and city manager's office is looking for those solutions.
Richard, I appreciate that. I want to transition to you, Mayor Pro Tem. Just in your own words, I mean, what is the condition of downtown Greensboro right now?
Yeah, and Algernon, thank you again for hosting these conversations. I do think they're a vital part of the growth of our city. And, you know, I think it goes without saying that a downtown is the economic engine of an entire city. When downtowns thrive, our property value prices increase, our small businesses grow, talent stays, the tax base is strong. So a strong downtown is a strong Greensboro. What's been significant over the last few weeks in particular is it's really shined a light on some of the core blocking and tackling that is underway currently with people who have been invested in downtown and highlighting things that we need to do. We've seen some changes in terms of parking. We were talking about where some of the core activity is from a safety standpoint. We've increased the presence of police, 26 individual police assigned to downtown. So we have some current conditions that are recognizing there's some basic blocking and tackling that needs to certainly take place. And then also looking at what is the big picture of where our downtown is taking the city overall. And that's what I'm looking forward to talking about. Thank you for this opportunity again.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. And I'm going to admit, it's so hard not to call you Denise. Because
that's I'm, all right. I'm all those, all the above.
I've known you for so long. And, you know, you and I were talking on the phone the other day, and I kept calling you Denise. And I said, man, I'm supposed to say Mayor Pro Tem. So if I say,
no, sir,
you know, give me that license, please. Kim, absolutely. Also from through your eyes and in a couple of minutes, what's from your perspective, what's the condition of downtown Greensboro?
So from my perspective, the condition of Greensboro right now, downtown Greensboro, is extremely bright. In some ways, it doesn't always appear bright because we've been advocating for a lot of different changes. But for the most part, the count or the city, I'm working with the county as well, and the city management seem very in line on trying to address the issues that we all have. And I think more than ever, the community has come together downtown. My position is I'm an independent small business owner. My family has been a part of downtown Greensboro since the early 90s. My husband owns a warehouse catty corner from the IRC. So we're not only in central, you know, Greensboro, we're downtown. We're also on the IRC side of things. I spend a lot of time downtown and I enjoy downtown and I promote downtown. It's amazing, you know, the history, the life, the what we have to offer, to see where the city was in the 90s and see where it is today. It's thriving. But we do have some hiccups. I think it's time to address some of the pressing issues that we have had for quite a long time that have not been appropriately addressed in the past. Maybe we've put some Band-Aids on different things, but everyone that I'm working with is very solution-driven. I'm solution-driven. You can't really look at the past and put blame on who's done what. I think we look at today and we look at tomorrow, and I think it's most important that the city and the county and work directly with the community to assess all the problems and the issues. That's pretty much all I have to say.
Well, I appreciate your perspective as well. I think it's so important to this conversation. You know, Richard, one of the things that sort of kicked off this whole conversation, going back to former Mayor Robbie Perkins, there were several businesses that announced that they were closing in downtown. And I think when you zoom out, not just in Greensboro, but quite frankly, every community is suffering from this right now. But when you zoom out, it just feels like it's a tough time for businesses, not just downtown Greensboro, but perhaps maybe Greensboro at large is what I'm sensing. Richard, talk a little bit about what you're hearing from the business community in terms of the climate, not only just downtown, but maybe within the entire city.
Well, I mean, I think when it comes to discretionary spending, that's kind of been reeled in a little bit over the last couple of years. And, you know, when we had this rash of closings of restaurants downtown, you know, I would lead to believe that some of these restaurants were on their way out. I mean, it's a tough business. And the most alarming thing that I heard in the process was Dane's Chicken and Waffle, when the ownership was talking about how habits have changed since COVID. And, you know, we couldn't go into restaurants, so we were ordering takeout, and our habits didn't change post COVID. So they're getting killed by fees from the Grubhubs and the Uber Eats. And, you know, that's taking their profit. So the restaurant business is extremely tough right now with all this, and food prices going up. So, and that's across the city. And, but, you know, we need to have some vibrant restaurants, and we need to have reasons to bring people downtown outside of the workplace. And, you know, downtown changed with COVID. We had a big employer downtown that had a lot of boots on the ground that did. They're now slowly coming back with Lincoln Financial. But, you know, we need to drive more traffic downtown to support businesses and give these businesses incentive to come downtown. And hopefully that's going to change as interest rates go down, as the economy continues to get better. But people have really reeled in on their discretionary spending.
You know, Richard, you mentioned the just the shift in consumer habits, and I totally agree with that sentiment. In fact, I wrote a very long blog post, and I've got a couple articles in the Carolina Journal talking about the very thing. But I also am observing, and again, this isn't just for restaurant owners, but for business owners in general, I'm also observing just higher costs, higher labor costs, higher input costs. right now because the Carol, you know, our real estate market's doing so well, but that also causes lease rates to go higher. Guilford County just had a property tax revaluation. That's additional costs for your business community. So what, again, you know, what's the reaction that you're hearing from the business community right now in this current environment?
Well, when it comes to assessments, I mean, the commercial assessments haven't come out. You know, I'm still involved with Rock Creek Center, and it'll be interesting to see what the assessments are, the reassessments are with the properties out there. But let's be clear that, you know, the increase in assessments is really truthfully getting closer to market values. I mean, we have had a rash of increased sales of property sales because of supply and demand. I mean, the demand is increasing every day. The supply has been tough coming out of the 2008, 2009, 2010 recession. It just didn't, we're behind on housing. So, you know, I'm not hung up about the assessments. The critical thing is going to be how it affects the pocketbook when Mayor Pro Tem and both city council and the county commissioners have to look at tax rate. And, you know, you're bringing up a point about, you know, cost of business is not only for the private sector, but the public sector. Wages are going up, costs are going up. You got to pay for these things. But I also feel like that it's time to look a deep dive into how we're spending our money and where we're spending our money and how effective it is. And is there some places that we can reallocate before we start increasing the tax revenue drastically, like which could happen July 1st?
You know, Mayor Pro Tem, when you hear those remarks and maybe even some of those concerns from the business community, I'm curious what might resonate most with you. And then also, I think a lot of times the city might be doing things that the public isn't totally aware of when it comes to these kind of concerns and issues. So what may be happening at the city level that residents are just not fully, may not fully understand?
Algernon, I appreciate that question. I do think it's worth stepping back for a moment. And in this context of downtown in particular, I think you've seen a big shift in what has occurred with council. This is a new seated council, and in particular over the last few months with the leadership of Councilwoman Parker, as well as Councilmember Adam Marshall in the council collectively have focused and thought about and worked on and had boots on the ground with our four downtown walks at looking at how this economic strain is really playing out in our community. Where are the parts that are missing from a street level? And some of the things that Ms. Ritchie talked to are aspects of that, but also the big picture of where our city is going. There are some core aspects that we need to really tackle, part of which is the increases in wages for individuals across the board, how people are trained, how they're readied for the works, the jobs that are coming online, as well as the housing market overall, as Richard pointed out. With the supply being low, it does have a big impact on demand. So yes, overall, as we are listening to the discussion about tax revaluation, as we're thinking about the budgets for both this year and going forward, we absolutely have to balance the realities of our communities across the board. And we have to think about and plan for what the future is. So yes, we need to hold ourselves accountable. And where can we be more efficient? Where can we, but most importantly, ensure that the resources that are entrusted to the city council and this government are used in a way that's most effective for our community collectively. There is strong opportunity happening across our city. We can look out our front windows and see where those are occurring. And the question today is how we take advantage and position the city to be able to take advantage and leverage what we have. We want to be able to attract and retain workers as well as businesses. And I think there's a lot of opportunity in our downtown footprint in particular for this conversation, but across the board. And those are the spaces and places that this conversation takes us to.
You know, Mayor Pro Tem, you just talked a little bit about being a good steward of the public's resources, which I think is critically important, especially when you're in the position that you all are in. oftentimes there might be constraints that the public underestimate when they're criticizing their leadership. Could you maybe talk a little bit about that as well?
Well, there are absolutely constraints. And, you know, the biggest challenge for us as a city is raising our tax base overall. Because when we do that and when wages are sort of meeting those demands of where we're seeing costs, we're all going to be in a better place. But until then, and as we are sort of getting ready for that horizon that we're headed to with all of the positions and jobs and energy that is happening from an industry standpoint, we have to make tough choices. We have to prioritize and we have to be clear. I think what our responsibility is as a council, as and city leaders, is to really look across the board and share publicly and often, where are we going? What is the vision that we have for the city? How are we making those priorities? And yes, maybe today our focus is in one area and tomorrow it'll be different. Hopefully we can work on multiple standpoints from multiple paths. But yes, there will be constraints in there. I think that and what I would like to see, and far be it for me to speak for all the council, but what I would like to see as a council member is for us to be able to talk big picture. Here's a direction that we see for success, and here's the steps that we're going to take to get there.
I like that. Kim, you've been vocal about community concerns, and you just heard some of the expectations that Mayor Pro Tem is communicating. One of my questions would be, do you feel like those expectations align with what the community and the citizens want that you're engaging with on a daily basis? And then also, what do you think might be the biggest disconnect between City Hall and just the everyday residents that you're talking to?
Denise, definitely. Yes. I support what she's saying 100%. And I guess what I've come across in speaking with so many of, the people that have been a part of the community downtown for years, it's the belief that there will be change. One of the biggest hiccups we have is the fact that, you know, things have gone on. There's been parking issues for years. There's been different scenarios for years. So, and you know what? We're not 30 years ago. Like today and tomorrow are different from where we were, and our growth is definitely different from where it's been. But at the same time, I do think that where the more that the city, the county, GPD, whoever it is, engages in with the community. And when I say community, not bigger business community. You need to engage in the big business community. That's driving the businesses downtown. It's driving the growth downtown. But the small businesses are the businesses that make up the majority of downtown. And unfortunately, a lot of the small businesses don't own their buildings. So, you know, in the case of our family, you know, our family owns the building, and, you know, there's different various businesses that operate within that building. And, you know, in the case of McCool's specifically, you know, that had nothing to do with rent. You know, it had more to do with parking and maybe some to do with being in business for a very long time and maybe needing somewhat of a change. But I do think that a lot of the business owners, especially the ones that might have been around for a while, that are failing, they just don't feel like they can get out of the cycle that they have been in for a very long time. So I've spent a lot of time trying to keep people's glass half full. I'm a glass half full person, not empty. And it's very hard to do. And it's hard to have people believe in you that you're going to advocate for the right thing. So I would say being the new city council, Denise Roth, like it is got to be so difficult to be in your shoes, because I'm trying to engage in everything that you guys are a part of and make sure that I'm paying attention. And you guys are listening. You guys are reacting. You're engaged. And I know that you're solution driven, you know, and I always say in my text that, you know, I say this to my kids that teamwork makes the dream work. And I do think that's important in all of this.
Thank you for that as well, Kim. You know, I've heard several of you all mention the idea of public safety. That topic came up quite a bit in the previous three conversations that I've had. That topic is coming up, quite frankly, in every downtown across America. We've been having that debate here in downtown Winston-Salem for 6 or 7 or 8 years right now. You know, Richard, coming back to you from a business perspective, what do you think the major issue is around public safety? And then what are some ideas around how the city actually starts to address it and solve it?
Well, if we're talking about downtown specific, which I believe we are, I worked downtown for 20 years and I still go downtown. My wife and I go downtown all the time. I think safety is a perception issue for our downtown, but perception becomes reality because I don't see the police when I go down there. And if I do, they might be sitting in a car. I'm a big believer. I mean, I did a police ride along when I ran for city council, and what I saw from 1:30 a.m. to 3 a.m. was alarming, and it's got to be dealt with. And there was a shortage of police that night, and we were supplementing it, and it happens every weekend. So I do think that once there's more presence, I mean, just patrolling and just walking and interacting with the people downtown brings a big safety factor there. Lighting is an issue downtown. It's very dark. You know, in 2016, we had a $25 million bond to streetscape Elm Street and other parts of downtown. And when I ran for city council, $13 million still hadn't been spent. It had been allocated, but not spent. And, you know, 2016 dollars, 10 years later, the value of money is certainly not the same, especially with the cost of construction over those years. So, you know, the city of Greensboro, and it's not Zach Matheny and downtown Greensboro's fault that that money wasn't executed. It was city staff and accountability. And we've got to have projects come on faster, and that's going to certainly help elevate downtown. We need to focus on public safety. We need to focus on lighting. We need to focus on a better environment, a better experience when you go down there on Friday and Saturday night.
You know, Mayor Pro Tem, you're new on council, so all of this might be coming at you quite fast. But some of those remarks from Richard sort of stand out. What's your reaction to the idea that there might be some unspent money that could address some of these public safety issues that the community is so concerned about?
Sure. Well, just as a reminder, you know, I was city manager up until 2014 when I left to work for President Obama. So I definitely understand the aspects of what Mr. Beard is referring to. What I will say is that accountability is about priorities as well. And so if there is funds that are unspent or that have not been directed appropriately, the priorities that this council set out is really the direction that you will see from staff. And we have had a strong partnership in this early start of staff really responding to this council of what they're setting as priorities and ensuring that bringing strategies and concepts and ideas to then see them through. And as Ms. Ritchie pointed out, this is definitely a council that is focused on execution, on moving the dial further. You know, from a safety standpoint, as they say, safety comes in numbers. And one of the best things we can do for a true safe and a safe and comfortable feeling for downtown is to increase the number of people who are working there 9 to 5 and who are living there afterwards, and really creating a 24/7 downtown. Something that is happening right now is we do have this GSO 35 strategy that's underway, but you also have this energy of a council that says downtown is everyone's problem and everyone's opportunity. And so you've seen some immediate steps. And I would be remiss if I wouldn't acknowledge that there are 26 full-time officers that are working downtown. How we deploy them, their presence, and people feeling comfortable is important. Those are some of the short-term things that we need to do. We also haven't talked about the unhoused at this point, but I know Ms. Ritchie will talk more about this. Creating strategies for people who, you know, no one wants to live on the street, right? People have other struggles that might have them there, but what are our strategies to help create a different direction for people are some of the pieces, but we're going to bring together these strategies that we're talking about and not just leave them as a plan in the drawer, but take them to action. And the same is true for any resources that we have. We will set the priorities as a council. We'll hold ourselves accountable and then expect the staff to support us in that. And everything that we've seen from the city manager, I feel confident in the direction we're headed.
You know, Mayor Pro Tem, I like the comments that you just shared, and I think that you did a pretty good job of mixing together. There might be a perception of downtown not being safe, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't still hold staff accountable. And I love the fact that you brought that in. And I think to the audience that might be listening to this conversation, especially if you live in Greensboro, if you feel that strongly about downtown public safety, it's not just your city council members that are responsible for what's going on in the city, but it's the actual staff that's managing the city. And I think that I almost said Denise, Mayor Pro Tem did a great job of sort of highlighting why it's so important to hold staff accountable, and including your police department as well. I know
including ourselves. I'm sorry to interrupt, but including ourselves as members.
Yeah. And I know one thing that we did here in downtown Winston is we really started helping our sheriff's department talk more with the police department, because believe it or not, the downtown is inside of the county. And once we started helping those two agencies to talk more, we actually started seeing those two agencies patrol downtown Winston a lot more frequently together. So that's just an example of how you can hold your staff accountable. And I totally agree. One of the best ways that you can deal with any downtown, and again, what's happening in Greensboro is not isolated to Greensboro. If you look around North Carolina, every downtown in North Carolina is experiencing some challenges right now. And the way you get beyond that is you get more people working downtown, more people living downtown. As there's more vibrancy, I think that's just an automatic way that you can start addressing the issue around public safety. So thank you for those comments. You know, Kim, there's a lot of online chatter going on about Greensboro. And I won't say any groups or pages specifically, but there's a lot of social media chatter, a lot of pointing fingers. The conversation around DGI keeps coming up. Some people are pointing fingers at the city leaders. Other people are pointing fingers at the police department. Some people are pointing fingers at the business owners. Here's my question for you, as a community advocate and someone that's talking to people on a daily basis. Is there some type of a leadership problem within Greensboro? And when I say leadership problem, meaning are all the leaders talking to one another and engaging with each other, or do you feel like we're operating within silos?
I do not feel like the leadership is communicating in unison. I do feel like we need to do a better job of the city and the county working together hand in hand. It's not for the community to have to drive that conversation. That should be expected with the position that you hold. And you know, we all have businesses, and in business conditions and different conditions, like, you're always going to work with people that might not be in your social circles. They might not be your favorite people, but you still need to work with these people, and you need to respect the people. And I think what boils a lot of what I see problematic in the community right now is there's a lot of hate, and there's a lot of narrative that points you down in a different direction that we don't need to go down. Like, I think it just needs to be more solution driven and more focused. As far as can I ask this question if you don't mind? Are you going back to safety? Because I really specifically have some things I wanted to mention concerning the safety that went back into what Richard and Denise were saying.
Yeah, go right ahead, Kim.
Derailed. Okay. Number one, with going back to what Denise said, talking about transparency and really engaging in the history and trying to understand why things are like they are. What I would like to know is, you know, Richard mentioned the $25 million bond that was passed in 2016. We know that those funds were put elsewhere. What I'd like to know is where they were put. You know, I don't really care who did what. I think we need to do a better job of being transparent and explaining as to why those funds were put wherever they were put. And I understand where Denise is coming from when she was saying sometimes projects get realigned. As a business leader and owner, and I jump on when people give me funds for something, I jump on it. I don't waste any time. You know, you give me monetary value, I'm going to go ahead and move forward with those funds because they might not be there a month from now. Things change, situations change. So that's that. But as far as the police is concerned and downtown safety, I agree with what Richard said. Is I think the unhoused situation along Elm Street, you know, in combination with the vacant storefronts and the graffiti and the trash, that's had a lot of people redefine what safe is downtown. Perception does matter. And it affects our families and the business owners and the visitors and investors, whatever. In downtown Greensboro every day, I'm there. I don't feel unsafe at all. And I feel that our biggest issue isn't necessarily safety as much as it is addressing the unhoused issue and addressing the behavioral health part, the mental health part of the unhoused. I believe the GPD, it's now Captain McFadder, and the CCR team, where they always have abbreviations, which is kind of confusing for someone like myself who doesn't work for the city, but the community resource response team, which is the bike police downtown. I think that they're doing a phenomenal job. I know they've added positions. I know there's been conversations that you have had with different various people about how many people are there. I know that they've added positions. I think that I was told that there will be 26 positions, but at any given time, half and half, you know, there should be 11 people that will be spaced, you know, downtown. I feel like they're present. I feel like they communicate very well, and I feel like their response when I call, they're on it. The problem I think we all have a lot of times is lack of communication. I feel like the more that we all engage in getting to know people,
sort of cut in there, Kim. Yeah. I mean, I do think the communication is an issue, and sort of where I was really going with the primary question was more around how do we start helping the leadership within Greensboro to start communicating better. And I'm getting ready to have to wrap us up here. Richard, I want to come back to you again. You know, Kim stated that she does think that there's an issue in terms of the business community, the city, the community at large when it comes to leadership and communication. So, you know, as we get ready to wrap up, we've got a new council in place. Richard, you ran for council. You didn't win. I know you're supporting this new council that's in place. But what type of mindset shift would you like to see in the next 12 months that allows for better communication between these silos that Kim highlighted?
Well, I mean, I'm a big believer in collaboration, and I think that's what's hurt us over the last 10, 15, 20 years is the lack of collaboration of sitting down and airing out the dirty laundry and let's find some solutions and let's move forward. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity in downtown Greensboro for some projects that would be magnets to bring people downtown, but we can't sit down and come to an agreement that's the right direction to go in. There are too many factions. So, but that's coming together with the GSO 35 plan, and let's take advantage of some of the work that we've done in the past few years and let's get behind the city council. It is a fresh perspective. And I do think that that's what was needed. And that's why I chose to run, because there were going to be a lot of open seats and it was time for some fresh perspective. And I'm at peace that I didn't get elected. And I'm very fortunate that a lot of the city council people that were elected, we got to know each other. We spent a lot of time together and we've been collaborating and we've been, you know, they're reaching out, and my hat's off to council person Parker for these downtown tours, which I took one of, you know, they're reaching out, they're giving the opportunity, and we need to use our voice and give some, not opinion, but be a part of the process. Just giving an opinion and walking away does nothing. It's time for us to all work together as a process. And some of us aren't going to like what happens, and we all have to compromise. So I'm encouraged with what we have on the plate, and I'm encouraged with the people that are in place to make some very tough decisions.
Well, what I love about being a commentator, Richard, is I get to give my opinion and just walk away. I don't have to be the one in office, but
I spent several months giving my opinion, but I haven't walked away.
Yeah, but you haven't walked away, and that's good. And I think that's good for Greensboro as well. And I know the people of Greensboro appreciate you and your service. And I appreciate you for being here and sharing thoughts and commentary. Kim, I'm going to come back to you as we get ready to wrap up. This is going to be really quick. Let's assume this new council is wildly successful and all these ideas that you have and Richard has and some that Mayor Pro Tem has had. Let's say those start to get implemented. From your perspective as a community advocate, someone that is so passionate about the community, and I hope for my audience, if you listen carefully to Kim when she's talking, she really, really cares about Greensboro. And that's the reason I invited her here, is because I thought that she just had a really interesting perspective. So my question for you, Kim, is 5 years from now, what does a thriving downtown Greensboro look like?
Place for patrons to come and park, because, you know, and people working together, and streets and businesses full at, you know, during the day and in the evening hours, maybe less unhoused, you know, on all the various street corners, people positioned in the right places that need to be there, new businesses thriving and coming downtown. I'd love to see more residents downtown. The more residents we have downtown, the more growth we will have downtown. I would love to continue on with DGI. The marketing that they do for downtown is amazing. They host so many different events that are very successful to downtown. It's just, you know, in the last 6 months, year or so, we need to just reassess some of the things that weren't working, and then kind of focus on the marketing aspect of things. Like, I feel like we have a thriving city, and there's just certain obstacles that have, you know, been in the way more recently and over, I guess, the past. But I feel like if everyone works together, if everyone continues to be a part of the solution, and they make a point of being involved and caring more about our city downtown, I think we'll thrive. No doubt in my mind. We're blessed to have the city that we have, and there's way more growth to come. I don't necessarily ever want to see us to become like a Charlotte. You know, I want us to be
to your point, teamwork makes the dream work.
It does.
I think if everybody starts working together, you'll get to where you want to get to. Denise, we're going to finish with you. You're in on a new term. If I recall correctly, the Greensboro City Council only has 2-year terms, correct?
4 years.
Well, used to be 2, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So you do have 4 years. All right. So here's my question for you. New council, I know you're working with the new council. We've even talked about maybe having a conversation with you and some of the other new council members, which I really would love and invite. What would you tell the public to expect in terms of measurable wins over the next 12 to 24 months with this new council?
Well, thank you again, Algernon, for this entire setup. And I appreciate you taking the time to focus in on a very important discussion. There's been a lot said today. I can't respond to all of it. So I appreciate this question in particular. You know, this council has been seated for about 120 days tomorrow. And in that time has taken on quite a bit, and not from the podium or not from speeches in the quad, but boots on the ground. And you see them spending time and understanding the questions, understanding who the partners are, taking the meetings, looking for ideas and opportunities, and then looking to take action as quickly as possible where it makes sense, but in a way that is informed as well as that is informative as well as thoughtful. And so over the next 12 to 24 months, you are going to see the same. You've seen some short immediate items that we've done specifically to downtown to respond to the immediate questions we were hearing around parking. You will see some responses as it relates to the unhoused that are a part of our community and finding strategies to support them. You will see more discussion around creating a comfortable downtown as well as our city overall. The ultimate goal is a downtown where everyone feels ownership and feels opportunity. And so some of the work that we will do over the next few months will certainly be about blocking and tackling everything from including the things I mentioned, but as well as graffiti and lighting and all the things we've talked about. But you will see us setting a stage for a downtown of the future, which includes innovation, which includes headquarters, again, downtown, which includes people living and working and recreating downtown of all ages, from all income brackets. Those are the steps that we're setting in today. The work that we have to do over the immediate term is, like I said, the basics of what are the things that have been unaddressed and how do we address them? But as we go forward, it's with the vision of there is a bright future for our downtown. There's a bright future for our city, and we really need to dig in and do that work. So I look forward to partnering with everyone here, and thank you again for taking the time.
Mayor Pro Tem, thank you. And I really appreciate your remarks. I'm certain that the residents of Greensboro feel a lot better knowing that you're on council and helping to drive things forward. And to my audience, if you believe conversations like this matter, conversations that bring business leaders, elected officials, and community advocates into the same conversation, I ask that you support this work. You can visit lockedin.cash to become a supporter. You can also subscribe to my podcast on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify. Share this episode and send it to someone who cares about the future of Greensboro. Most importantly, stay tuned to WTOB because every Sunday morning, that's where you can lock in with me. I'm Algernon Cash, and until next time, y'all stay locked in.
The executive producer of the Locked In podcast is Algernon Cash for WGC. The associate producer is Tim Beeman for Such and Such Media. This podcast is copyrighted and cannot be reproduced without express written consent of WGC.